Welcome to Falun Gong News Direct from China and around the world from the Minghui website. This week's top stories include Taiwan, pro-communist group openly apologizes to Falun Gong. Australian politicians and community leaders condemn state-sanctioned organ harvesting in China. Announcing an update to Minghui International, now available in print and online. Worldwide events continue 16-year peaceful protest. Switzerland, the Art of Zhen Chanren International Exhibition opens in Winterthur. And the chain of command in the persecution of Falun Gong begins with the 610 office. Now for the stories. Taiwan, pro-communist group, openly apologizes to Falun Gong. For more than 4 years, the Concentric Patriotism Association, CPA, has been encouraging its members to assault and verbally abuse Falun Gong practitioners who have been raising awareness of the persecution in China in front of the Taipei 101 building in Taipei, Taiwan. Taiwan's Supreme Court recently ordered the head of this pro-communist group to openly apologize to Falun Gong practitioners and to pay a fine of 200,000 NT dollars, approximately $6,450 US dollars. The open apology was issued on April 25, 2015, by the head of the CPA, to the Taiwan Falun Dafa Association and its former president, economics professor Chang Ching-si. The apology was published in two major Taiwan newspapers, China Times and United Daily News. According to Professor Chang, for years, Falun Gong practitioners in Taiwan have been exercising their legal rights to freedom of speech by peacefully protesting the 16-year persecution of the practice in China. Over the past few years, however, members of the CPA have frequently assaulted, humiliated, and slandered Falun Gong practitioners there in public. Law scholar, CPA maliciously spreads false statements. Mr. Huang Kuo-chong, a research professor from Academia Sinica, believes that the recent ruling shows that the court believes that the CPA maliciously spread false statements against Falun Gong. Mr. Huang is hopeful that the ruling will deter CPA members from making defamatory statements against Falun Gong in the future. Human rights lawyer, justice is done. Teresa Chu, spokesperson for the Falun Gong Human Rights Lawyers Working Group, believes that this incident highlights the difference in how spiritual practices are viewed in Taiwan versus mainland China. This is the first case outside of China where pro-Chinese Communist Party members have been found guilty of assaulting Falun Gong practitioners and have been ordered to openly apologize, said Chu. Finally, justice is done for the Falun Gong practitioners overseas who have been subjected to slander, assault, and hatred inflicted by pro-CCP members. Ms. Chu stressed that Falun Gong practitioners and lawyers will do what they can to protect their basic human rights and freedom of belief. We sincerely hope that the pro-communist media, groups, and individuals will not continue to violate the law. Freedom of belief does not include verbal abuse, vilifying others, or preventing others from having their own belief, said Professor Chang. The court's ordering the CPA to delete their slanderous statements online, pay a fine, and give an open apology clearly shows society what freedom of speech and freedom of belief really are. Friends of Tibet, people won't tolerate smear campaign against Falun Gong. The court order gives the pro-communist members a clear warning to stop smearing Falun Gong, said Cho Mei-li, president of Taiwan Friends of Tibet. For those who choose to violate the law, Cho said, this ruling tells them that they will quickly be held accountable.
Australian politicians and community leaders condemn state-sanctioned organ harvesting in China. Public attention on organ harvesting atrocities in China has been on the rise since the Australian National Television Network, SBS, broadcast a primetime TV documentary on the subject on April 7, 2015. Australian politicians and community leaders are seizing the opportunity such awareness provides to call for thorough investigations by the United Nations and an immediate end to this crime against humanity. Federal Member of Parliament, organ harvesting is reprehensible. Craig Kelly, Federal Member of Parliament and co-chair of Parliamentarians Against Forced Organ Harvesting, called the practice of forced organ harvesting reprehensible and pledged to continue working with Falun Gong practitioners to expose the issue and stop the crime against humanity. It is a barbaric and cruel practice that has no place in our world, and it is pleasing to see that all nations are taking strides against this, Mr. Kelly added. Organ harvesting should be addressed by the World Court. Our government should make it clear to the Chinese government that this organ harvesting is an act worthy of world condemnation, said Sien Westerberg, spokesperson for the Fairfield Liverpool Area Green Party in New South Wales. Ms. Westerberg described the state-sanctioned organ harvesting as stunned horror and totally unacceptable. This is a war on its own people. Awareness is key. People need to know this type of abhorrence is happening in China, that China chooses to treat its own citizens with such hatred and inhumanity, said Ms. Westerberg. Andrew Bush, a senior Liberal Party member, said that watching the Human Harvest documentary helped him better understand Falun Gong practitioners' determination to expose the crime and bring the perpetrators to justice. Its content was and is horrifying, but it is definitely a message that needs to be spread worldwide until the Chinese authorities realize what they have done is wrong, said Bush. It is one of the worst abuses of human rights, and it needs to be stopped. Chinese regime should be condemned for organ harvesting. That any country would organ harvest their people because of their belief, to me, is just horrific, and the government of the country needs to stand condemned for that, stated Reverend Bill Cruz, minister of the Ashfield Uniting Church Parish Mission and CEO and founder of the Exodus Foundation. For people to donate their organs is one thing. To have them harvested is another. It's morally wrong, added Reverend Cruz. Every person on this earth has a right to live as long as they like, as long as they can, and it should not have anything to do with their belief. To execute people because of their belief is just abhorrent. Parramatta City Councillors support Falun Gong. If there are allegations that people came forward to say they are organ harvesting in China, then we need to say that's got to be investigated and expect China to comply with any investigation, stated James Sharp, Parramatta City Councillor, adding that Australia is one of the founding nations of the United Nations after the Second World War. Mr. Shaw said that he knows Falun Gong practitioners well. They are always very polite, pleasant, and respectful, and not just to me, but to each other as well, and they are good community citizens. The Chinese consulate can write a letter to me, but it's not going to change my view, and it will not change what I do as city councillor, he added, referring to his fellow councillor, John Hughes' experience. The Chinese consulate in Sydney demanded that Mr. Hugh not support practitioners' claims regarding organ harvesting as a condition for issuing him a visa to visit China. What kind of government harvests organs from their own people for profit? What kind of pain will it bring to those victims' families? Instead of persecuting good citizens that are working to make their country a better place, they should be utilizing those people to benefit their country, said Andrew Wilson, another Parramatta city councillor. Mr. Wilson expressed his appreciation for SBS Dateline, which broadcast Human Harvest. He said that he has been actively urging the Australian government to pay attention to this crime against humanity. He said that Chinese officials involved in this will find organ harvesting a sin in the future and regret what they did. I hope they can find reconciliation through confession so that China won't poison the world's atmosphere with the persecution and torture.
Announcing an update to Minghui International, now available in print and online. We are pleased to announce the publication of an updated English edition of Minghui International. Chinese and other language versions will soon follow. The English version is a 16-page magazine format printed on high-quality glossy paper. The booklet measures 8.5 by 11 inches, U.S. letter size. You may place orders for printed booklets with mh@bweiser.net Orders can be shipped or picked up in New York during the upcoming conference.
Worldwide events continue 16-year peaceful protest. Peaceful protests worldwide in front of Chinese embassies and consulates mark the 16th anniversary of April 25th, the largest peaceful protest in modern Chinese history. The courage and strength demonstrated by Falun Gong practitioners 16 years ago continued at various events throughout the world. In San Francisco, USA, Toronto, Canada, Paris, France, Auckland, New Zealand, Helsinki, Finland, and Stockholm, Sweden. In front of the Chinese embassy in New Zealand, Ms. Zhang Hua recalled what took place 16 years ago in China. On the night of April 24, 1999, I learned at my group study site in Beijing that the police in nearby Tianjin had violently arrested 45 Falun Gong practitioners. They claimed that their release wouldn't be possible without a decision from Beijing. These practitioners were arrested because they visited the Youth Reader magazine to request the withdrawal of a slanderous article against Falun Gong, Ms. Zhang continued. She said that this was why she joined the 10,000 Falun Gong practitioners outside the State Council on April 25, 1999, to protest the unjust treatment of practitioners in Tianjin. Ms. Zhang said that after 9 p.m., practitioners learned that the then Chinese premier, Zhu Rongji, met with practitioner representatives and decided to release the detained practitioners in Tianjin. He also reassured practitioners of the legality of practicing Falun Gong and promised to restore permits for the publishing of Falun Gong materials. Satisfied with the outcome of their peaceful demonstration, the practitioners then quietly dispersed. Another practitioner at the New Zealand event, Ms. Wang Jiushun, then an assistant professor at Tsinghua University, shared her experience of the peaceful demonstration 16 years ago. The Chinese Communist Party propaganda used terms like surrounded and attacked when they described this event. It's a common trick of the CCP to release this kind of propaganda in preparation for a crackdown. Our protest was completely quiet, orderly, and non-intrusive, she recalled. As a result of practitioners' persistent efforts, people around the world have come to understand truth of the persecution despite the CCP's slanderous propaganda. A passerby, Mr. Chen, encountered practitioners in Helsinki, Finland. Upon learning about the persecution, he asked, "In addition to my signature, what else can I do to help?" Benjamin Ishmael, head of the Asia-Pacific desk of the non-governmental organization Reporters Without Borders, has noted the trend of many people in China seeking uncensored information by circumventing the regime's internet firewall. He encouraged practitioners to continue exposing the persecution. Speaking at the rally in front of the Chinese embassy in Paris, Mr. Ishmael said, "It is very important to provide people access to Falun Gong information because Falun Gong is a topic we all care about. Falun Gong is also a major target of the Chinese regime." Switzerland, the Art of Zhen Shan Ren International Exhibition opens in Winterthur. The Art of Zhen Shan Ren, Truthfulness, Compassion, Forbearance, International Exhibition opened on April 10th in Winterthur's Switzerland's second largest city. The exhibition is scheduled to be on display for the next 2 months. The collection of 52 artworks, including realistic oil paintings and Chinese watercolors, have formed an extraordinary, moving, and inspiring exhibition depicting both the inner spiritual world of Falun Gong practitioners and the human rights tragedy happening in China today for the past 16 years. Many visitors expressed that they were deeply moved by the artworks. The characteristics in the paintings depicting persecution have such pain in their eyes, wrote one visitor in the guestbook comments. Everything I saw here deeply touched me.
The chain of command in the persecution of Falun Gong begins with the 610 office. I have read your Falun Gong books, and I know that you guys are good, that you are being treated unfairly, but I'm just a pawn. There's nothing I can do if the authorities want me to persecute you. That was said by Wei Ming, an officer with the Xinhua police station in Hebei province, when he arrested a local Falun Gong practitioner in November 2000. A fellow officer added, "I have to do whatever the higher-ups tell me to, even if it means killing. It makes no difference if the person is good or bad. The policy to suppress Falun Gong is not going to change. Even if it does, that's a long time in the future. I'll be long gone by then." Falun Gong practitioner Mr. Fang heard the same thing. Fang, 70, passed out after intense torture in a police station in Weifang, Shandong province. The chief of the station said, "I am doing what they ordered me to do. Even if it is a crime, it's their fault, not mine. If somebody is to be held accountable, it will be them, not me." These three police officers are not alone in their thinking. It is a typical attitude of Chinese police when it comes to Falun Gong. In these two examples, one from Hebei and the other from Shandong, the police are at the bottom end of a chain of command that is ultimately controlled by the 610 office, the party-based security organization created expressly to coordinate and execute the persecution of Falun Gong. The 610 office was set up by former communist leader Jiang Zemin, who instigated the persecution. On June 10, 1999, hence the name, the office has absolute power over all other branches of the government. The persecution starts in detention centers, where practitioners are routinely taken after arrest. Under the supervision of the 610 office, a local domestic security division will then process the cases, which usually results in the practitioner being prosecuted in the corrupt court system and serving time in prison. Many practitioners, however, are taken directly to brainwashing centers, which are under direct authority of the 610 office. These centers are also called black jails, because a practitioner can be admitted without any legal paperwork. This article illustrates each step in this criminal chain of command that starts with the 610 office. Criminals in detention center. We beat you. They reduce our sentences. After being arrested in December 2000, one Falun Gong practitioner was sent to a detention center in the Chongwen district with six other practitioners. In the cell, six criminal inmates beat them for 8 hours straight. The criminal said, "We do this to many Falun Gong practitioners. It's routine. We beat you, they reduce our sentences. That's all we want, really. The authorities tell us to do it, so we do." Domestic Security Division, "You can try to sue me, but you won't win." Falun Gong practitioner Ms. Zan from the Shandong province was arrested on July 4, 2011 and taken to the second detention center. On July 11th, her son and family went to the local domestic security division requesting her release. The chief of the team said, "We are just following orders. I have read your Falun Gong materials, and I know that Falun Gong is innocent, but I have no choice. You can try to sue me, but you won't win." On July 20th, Ms. Zan was given 1 year and 6 months of forced labor. Labor camp guards, "Our superiors tell us to torture them." Before the dissolution of the forced labor camp system, the domestic security division sometimes sent practitioners to labor camps directly without due process. The guards there claimed they were just following orders to torture practitioners. Ms. Man from Dalian, Liaoning province, was tortured in the Dalian labor camp. She was suspended from a window frame so the guards could beat her with electric batons and rubber sticks until she passed out. Her legs turned black and purple and her muscles cramped. The guards then forced her to sit on a small stool. She overheard a guard say to the other guards, "Our superiors tell us to torture them." Labor camp inmate, "I cannot ignore orders from the authorities." Criminals in the labor camp were often coerced to torture Falun Gong practitioners. Ms. Chen, a practitioner from Pingdu, Shandong province, was in the 2nd Provincial Women's Forced Labor Camp. A criminal inmate in the same cell tortured her. She stole her food, did not allow her to use the bathroom, and cursed and beat her. The inmate once held Ms. Chen by her hair and slammed her head into the wall several times. Another time, she stepped on her after pushing her down and told the other prisoners to beat her. In exchange for torturing Ms. Chen, her sentence was reduced. Before she was released, she held Ms. Chen and cried. "I'm so sorry," she said. "I didn't want to torture you. The authorities ordered me to, and I couldn't ignore them. You have suffered a lot." Prosecutor, I have to do what the 610 office tells me to. Practitioners not sent to labor camps are prosecuted. When Mr. Li from Guangdong Province was arrested in September 1999, the prosecutor in Shenzhen told him, "You are innocent, but we have to prosecute you. It is necessary politically. It is an order from the authorities." In most cases, the prosecutors ignore the law and bend to the will of the 610 office. In another example, Wang Mingcheng and Yu Peiling were arrested by the 610 office and local police in a city in Jiangsu Province. They were turned over to the county prosecutors. Wang was sentenced to 3 years and Yu to 4. The prosecutor admitted to the defense attorneys, "We really had no legal basis to charge them, but it was a direct order from the 610 office, and we have to do what the 610 office tells us to." Judge, I have to follow the orders from the authorities. How do the judges handle Falun Gong cases? On August 6, 2013, the family of practitioner Wang Jingbo from Yutong County, Jilin Province, went to the Ningjian District Court in Songyuan City to find out when Wang would be tried. They were told that a secret trial had already been held. They asked the judge why they were not informed. The judge, Liu Ping, said it was not necessary. He also refused to tell them when the trial was held. When the family questioned the legality of such a trial, Liu said, "There is no rule of law. The party pays me, so I have to follow whatever orders it gives me." Prison warden, "We must transform 90%. That is an order." The prisons are expected to transform Falun Gong practitioners, force them to renounce their belief and sign a document certifying they are non-practitioners. In 2012, Fan Jai Tai Prison in Shenyang City, Hubei Province, upped the transformation rate. The warden announced that 90% of the practitioners had to be transformed. He assigned police officers to each division of the prison to carry out the order. The police were awarded 10,000 yuan for every practitioner that renounced Falun Gong. The ones who transformed the most practitioners would be considered for promotion. Motivated by rewards and benefits, many officers tortured practitioners brutally to try to get them to sign the documents. A police officer in Jiamusi Prison told a practitioner, "Our orders say that we will be fine even if we beat you guys to death, as long as the number of deaths is below a set number." The police in Jiamusi Prison killed three practitioners in 2 weeks by beating them to death. The prison has never released the body of one of the victims. Brainwashing Center staff, "The Constitution means nothing. The 610 office lays down the law." Besides prison, and in the past forced labor camps, practitioners are sent to brainwashing centers set up by the 610 offices, which are governed by no laws. The 610 office in Hubei Province, Hubei Law Education Institute, has a rule that the staff can do anything they choose to get practitioners to transform. Officers that were successful were rewarded with cash or a promotion. The chief of the center claimed, "We are above the law." Mr. Li, a 65-year-old elementary school teacher from Hebei Province, was taken to a local brainwashing center on July 17, 2001. Seven officers from the 610 office took Mr. Li to a small cell on the morning of October 9th. When the lead officer asked Mr. Li to give up Falun Gong, he replied, "Falun Gong healed me. How can I give it up?" The officer said, "If Falun Gong healed you, I will beat you today until you are sick again." Mr. Li said, "That would be breaking the law." To which the officer replied, "I just graduated from law school. Of course, I know that it is against the law, but I'm telling you that you cannot get out of here. Even if you get out and file a lawsuit against me, you cannot win. We're untouchable. The party tells me to beat you." Jiang Zemin and the 610 office gave the order. Nowadays, the 610 office makes all the rules. I am with the 610 office. The Constitution means nothing. What the 610 office says goes. If you quit Falun Gong today, we will send you home now. If you refuse, I am going to beat you with this stick. Mr. Li refused to comply, so the seven officers struck him with batons until he passed out. After he came to, the lead officer sprayed pepper powder into Mr. Li's eyes. The pain made Mr. Li pass out again for 7 hours. The 610 office is the ultimate authority. The 610 office controls the police, who torture and oversee the torture of Falun Gong practitioners. This has gone on for 16 years. The police and the criminals are merely links in the chain of command. When those responsible for the persecution are brought to justice, neither the 610 office nor Jiang Zemin will be excused. Thank you for listening to the Minghui Radio podcast. For more information, including news about the persecution of Falun Gong practitioners in China and experience sharing stories by practitioners around the world, please visit our website at en.minghui.org.